Today is Tuesday, August 29th, 2023, and we are meeting for the Forestry Program for Oregon Subcommittee. The Zoom webinar will be hosted by the Oregon Department of Forestry, so please note this meeting will audio record, and all members of the public will remain as attendees throughout this meeting. I'll pass it over to the facilitator for the day to introduce the subcommittee panelists and any technical staff present.
Thanks, Hillary. Hi, everybody. Robin Harkless with Oregon Consensus. I'll be providing facilitation for today, and I'll just point folks out and you can introduce yourselves and we'll get started. We have just an hour today, so we'll want to maximize and use the best, make the best use of the time that we can. So I appreciate everybody's joining us today. So we'll start with Brenda.
Brenda McComb, board member.
Thank you. Joe.
Joe Justice, board member.
Ben.
Ben Doimling, board member.
Cal.
Cal Mukamoto, state forester.
Thank you. Michael.
Mike Wilson, state forest division chief.
Thanks, Mike. Ryan.
Ryan Greco, ODF field representative.
And Danny.
Morning, Danny Norlander with ODF.
All right, welcome. We may be joined by a couple other additional ODF staff. So I'm just going to read through the agenda and we'll do introductions with newcomers as they join. So just a quick review of our agenda for this morning. We're mostly prepping for the September full board meeting on the 7th, and we've had some updates to the formerly known as FPFO content development. So I want to revisit with you some of those changes for today. We don't have to be perfect going into September 7th, but did want to give everybody one last pass to have you your eyes on some of these changes that we'll be discussing at the board meeting in September. And if there are any kind of final revisions or refinements that you want to make to this concept document that I've been kind of holding the pen for you on, we can make those adjustments. Hopefully not big sweeping changes today, but we can make some refinements, and we will make sure that the update goes to Hillary for inclusion in the board packet and for posting to the links to the September meeting. So the main thing that we'll look at today is a proposed new working title. So it's a working title, not set in stone. And then some of the revisions that are in the concept. There's kind of a developing, I don't know what we're calling it yet. It's a bit of a preamble or introduction, but basically has kind of intent and context as a way to kind of lead into the actual goals and strategies of this vision document. And then we'll touch down on the climate leadership goal one more time. This is something that we briefly discussed on our last subcommittee call, but Joe, you weren't there, and maybe there were others that weren't with us on that call. So I want to just give us one more look at that. And then there had been updates to the resilient forest goal over the last couple of months. There's been some work done on that by members of the subcommittee that we'll want to get your eyes on and just make sure you're aware of those changes. And those will be all of the pieces that we'll talk with. We'll kind of center in the conversation when we get to the full board meeting. And just as a kind of nod out to the final stages of all this, my hope and my aim and goal process-wise is that in October, when you have your retreat, we will have a comprehensive vision document for everybody to kind of go through together again and just make sure that there are alignments. If there are any refinements that need to be made, we can make those at that time. But we've been sort of looking at these in pieces, and that would be the time to really pull it all together and have it kind of have your review of it as a comprehensive and hopefully cohesive vision document. And so it'll include the organizational excellence goal that has been worked on kind of in previous stages that will come back around and give you the full view of that. So September is still kind of some of these bite-sized bits, but we will make sure that there's a comprehensive review and discussion in October. and still some time to make changes before we ask you to put your blessing on it and go into the next stage for a broader public review on the document. So that's really it. I will review the September agenda with you one more time. I sent out a draft kind of proposed topic agenda for September, so we can look at that. And if there are any suggested changes, we can talk about those. And if there's time, we'll look once again at the overall process plan and timeline. So any questions or comments about the agenda before we roll? And do you want to invite Ryan to introduce yourself? Welcome.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. Ryan Gordon with ODF. Apologies for being late, surfing from one meeting to the next, and I got stuck in the gallery, I think.
Oh, we're glad you're here. Thank you. All right. So let me pull up, and if you want to follow along, this version should be available to you via the ODF web page designated to this particular project. And for those of you that are on the subcommittee, you received an email from me yesterday afternoon with the latest of this concept document. So that's what I'm going to pull up right now, but feel free to grab it on your own computers if you want to have access to it that way as well. And we'll just kind of point out some of the changes. Let me make sure I grab the right version here. All right, let me share my screen again. Okay, so last time we met, there was a proposal on the table to change the title of this forestry program for Oregon to a vision for Oregon's forests. And the folks that were on the subcommittee call last time were good with this as a working title. But I just want to make sure that you're all comfortable with us sort of making that pivot now and really referring to this as the vision instead of the forestry program for Oregon. For some of you, this is really important. And for others, you probably don't care. But I want to make sure we're tracking along here.
Okay, so I apologize. I wasn't at the last meeting. I had something come up that I could not make it. And I guess I was the one that started throwing out different names, et cetera. I think it is important to me that we change the name just because it's a new document. And I think I believe names really matter. I think names, it's marketing. It's but that's my belief that what we name this document is going to be important. I talk about vision because I felt that this was more of a visionary document than a plan. You know, the forestry plan for Oregon is more of a vision. But then I got to be, you know, thinking about how I don't necessarily like the term vision for, I mean, it is what it is, but I don't know that it's a great name personally, because what ends up happening with these names is we shorten them, you know, we create some sort of acronym or we, you know, do things like that. And I mean, I threw out on some emails about Blueprint for Oregon's Forest as a name. It's just a different way of thinking about vision as a blueprint. And ultimately, the document could be referred to as the blueprint or something like that instead of. So just an idea, just again, I think names are important. I think it needs to change from forestry plan for Oregon. But anyway, I'll just stop talking. I see Brenda has got her hand up.
Hi, Brenda. Thank you, Joe, for that context as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you, Joe, for suggesting a change to the name. I appreciate that. And I actually like vision. I think it is more descriptive of what we're doing. Blueprint doesn't strike me as maybe the best name, because a blueprint means that there is one, you know, one way that we're going to be dealing with things in the future. And I don't think that's true. I think there are many paths forward. And so if not vision, then maybe we should think of another word that kind of defines the future and the uncertainty around it.
Mm-hmm. I just think we need to think about it will be shortened. That's the nature of these things. We, you know, and anyway, it's, I'd like to find a name And I don't know. This gets into marketing. You know, how do we market this particular document? And something people remember, memorable, short. And when it's shortened, it's something people know. When people refer to the FPFFO or whatever the heck we call it, you know, nobody knows what that is. I mean, nobody knows even when. And I guess one of the problems with the past name. To me, this is kind of a marketing issue, marketing question. Every word means something different to everybody. You know, I mean, that's the problem with naming anything. And the reason why I came with Blueprint was because it kind of meant vision. You know, it doesn't mean vision exactly, but it's just a word that is similar to that. Anyway, so go ahead.
Hey, I think this is great. I think it's short, sweet, and unlike, I think you already pointed this out, Joe. FPFO doesn't communicate things to people. It gets confusing. What is it? Is a manual? This, I think, is exactly what you're trying to do here. Is the board's vision for Oregon's forest? So, I like it. I think it's good. It's not too complicated.
Ben?
I wholeheartedly agree with Joe that names are really important and we need a new name. And I kind of like this one. I've been Joe, I appreciate your sort of wrestling with the word vision, and I'm not sure if VOF is really a very glamorous abbreviation for this. VOF.
That's what will happen. That's what will happen.
I know, and
That's going to happen. It's going to be called the VOF.
B Blueprint would give us BOF, which already is taken. I like vision. I'm open to other words. I'm not sure that Blueprint sounds a little prescriptive to me. I like it in the idea of a blueprint is sort of showing a path forward, but it kind of like Brenda, it feels a little too prescriptive, where vision, I think, takes into account the dynamic nature of this document and the dynamic nature of the future of our forests. I think this is a great start, and I'd be open to other ideas on the what if we wanted to change vision up.
How?
I have a quick question. When's the last time anyone's seen a blueprint? Do they still make those?
I
Well, no,
I
they
see
don't.
digital ones all the time, but not actually blue.
Joe, what do you think after some of the feedback?
Well, I just think that if we name it Vision for Oregon's Forest, it's going to be shortened to VOF, and people are going to be right back in the same place. I mean, I vision is descriptive as to me as to what this document is. I agree, it is our vision, right? I'm just looking for, I'm struggling for another name that, from a marketing perspective, is better. And maybe we should reach out to people that do this for a living, as to, you know, something like that, that we could. How do we name this thing something that is doesn't get turned into VOF? Because that's what'll happen to this name, and then it'll be the same as the FPFO. That's my feeling. I would rather name it. Not I'm not okay. I'll back up on Blueprint, but what I was thinking was you could refer to it as the Blueprint. It wouldn't be abbreviated. You know, if you said Blueprint for Oregon's Forest, you might refer to it as the Blueprint. But that just for context of how I think about marketing a name, I guess, is what that's what I'm trying to say. And maybe this isn't the group to come up with what that name is. I'd be curious if there was, you know, some people that do this for a living for marketing that could think about this as what we might be able to name this document. I just know names matter. And how people think about, you know, what if they're going to reference this document or not, et cetera, or no, even know what this document is, right? So anyway, I'll stop talking.
Well, it sounds like everybody's agreeing with that, Joe, and that y'all are trending in the right direction with the desire to make a change that makes this clearer about what it is. So any suggestions? I saw Ben and Cal, you both had your hands up. I don't know if those were from before, but go ahead.
The only suggestion I might offer is our vision for Oregon's forest, Oregon Board of Forestry, and then maybe it could be called our vision from the board's perspective, you know, when we refer to it. But it just depends, you know what I mean?
No. That's exactly, Cal, that's exactly what I'm saying. I if that's what we end up doing, and that's you're right there, what I'm thinking. Is how do we ultimately title this thing? The Forestry Plan for Oregon was the title of the last document. It was never referred to it in that way. I just hope we can come up with a name that's referred, you know, that people say it and they know what it is. When we refer to the FPFO, know what people, what the hell is that? You know, and you're thinking the way I'm thinking, our vision or something like that, you know, that's how it's referred. That's how we reference this document.
Okay. Ryan.
Yeah, I just wanted, I think this is a great conversation and highlights the challenges of a name. It seems so simple. Just wanted to also jump in and as a reminder that we want this to be something that is reflective of both the board and the department and staff, and something that staff also can identify with. And I like the idea of maybe soliciting some help from some professionals, so we could definitely turn to our public affairs program and see if they could help us out, but we could also look beyond that as well in terms of kind of a little bit of a marketing strategy.
Yeah, and I the same idea we just did on state lands, right? I mean, we've just done a marketing strategy on state lands, right? And so I think, and good stuff, you know, through that marketing, I think we need to do something similar with this.
Yeah. Okay.
VFOF doesn't seem like a great acronym. You're right about that.
VFOF. Okay. So we're trending in the right direction. Feels like it still needs some tinkering, but it's better than what was formerly known as FPFO, which nobody knows what that is. So how about we just hold this for now? Sounds like Ryan, maybe you're willing to kind of take this back to a couple folks and see if we can generate some additional input on this, just informally. And all of you are welcome to do that. And if you come back with the brilliant idea that gets at the need to kind of shorten it, make it clear so everybody can kind of see what it is and understand what it is, but also can be kind of used through the lens of sort of a marketing or branding, then we can revisit this. We still have time. So unless anybody has a specific suggestion otherwise, I would say that'll be our next step. And we'll revisit this after the board meeting, and we can raise this with the full board as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Joe, for kicking that off. And you're really sort of prompting this thinking. I know others have been asking for it for a while, so I'm glad that you took the initiative and got it started. All right, so let's move on, if we can, to what I'm holding space in the title. This also could be really shifted in terms of what the headliner is, but this is now sort of an integrated board agency intent, principles, and context section. So on the one hand, months ago, the executive team worked on a set of sort of guiding principles for the organization, and they were really kind of through that lens of the agency, and came up with a suite of guiding principles. Those have been reflected in several iterations of the formerly known as FPFO concepts. So those will be familiar to everyone if they've been following along. Then the other piece that has been evolving over the last couple of months was with a subset of board members on the subcommittee. primarily Brenda and Joe, who worked on, you know, started a conversation about the importance of acknowledging and really articulating some context behind this moment in time and what's in some ways what is impacting this vision document, but also some intention behind it that they felt like was important to articulate that would be reflective of the kind of the culmination of a lot of conversations and dialogue that's been happening throughout this process that have been sort of flagged here and there, but we haven't actually really put pen to paper on it. So I was tasked after the last subcommittee to go and do a little bit of a merging, just trying to see, because somebody pointed out that a lot of those guiding principles that the ET had developed really crosswalked well and aligned well, and in some ways were duplicative of some of the ideas that came through this intent and principle or intent and context piece. So I did that work. I had a quick stopover with some members of the executive team yesterday, and they had some additional suggestions of how to best really integrate those agency principles into this piece. And that's what you see reflected here. So I wanted to give you all a chance to see this, offer any additional friendly amendments or refinements before we sort of capture this into a draft that will be a kind of a centerpiece of the conversation at the full board meeting with the full board and the ET. But it felt, I heard you say that it was really important to do that checking in again. Do we all agree on these kind of basic understandings of what our intentions are and really some of the realities of the backdrop of where we are in this point in time? And so that's what you got here. The blue, the words in blue are changes that happened via the ET conversation I had with folks yesterday. So that's why you see some blue content just for tracking purposes. But it still flows with kind of a broad statement of intent, a set of principles that is starting to get a little lengthy. And I know we'll want to talk about if there's a way to make that more concise, and then some contextual factors that influence and are impacted by the strategies. I'm going to pause for just a moment. I'll come back to the screen, but I just want to give folks an opportunity to absorb that. And did anybody not have a chance to review this at all before today? And the answer could very well be yes. I just want to check in.
Yeah, I haven't really looked. I haven't had a chance to look at it, Robin.
Okay. So I'm going to propose that we all just take five and have you all just look at it, and I'll check in with you in 5 minutes. And I don't know, the wisdom might be for me to share my screen for folks that are watching, but I would suggest for the folks that are just tuning in to observe, go to the ODF website. The link to today's agenda or materials for this meeting will have this version. And Hillary, please correct me if I'm wrong about that. I believe you reposted that this morning.
That is correct, Robin.
Okay. So I'm just going to ask, if you want to follow along, just go to that link and you can find this document. It starts on page 2 of what is called the version 3, 8, 29, 23 NPCC concept draft. And I'll just give you a couple minutes to look at that, and we'll be back in a few. All right. Does anybody need more time? Okay. So if you want to all come back on video, if you're able to, I will share my screen again. And I'm going to actually this time share the version that shows comments on the side as well, because there were a number of comments that were made to this as well. So this is definitely not the last opportunity, but so I really would like to sort of frame this as, are there any glaring omissions or mischaracterizations that you want to flag for this group this morning in the hopes to make some changes before we take this to the broader group? And I'll start with Ben and then Cal. And you point me to the where you want us to go, and I can go there on the screen, Ben.
Sure. Thanks, Robin. Just real briefly, in general, I like this. I think it covers a lot of grounds. A couple sort of big picture thoughts is, I think the whole thing could be compressed. There's a lot of redundancy in here, and mostly that's just some editing work. But I think with some editing, we could say the same thing in about half the space. The part, if you scroll down towards the bottom in the context portion, I guess I've got a little trouble with the urban rural dynamics paragraph. I wholeheartedly agree that we have real challenges in the states with our urban rural divides, and I think that needs to be front and center in this plan. The line has become increasingly more contentious since 2020. I don't think fits here. I feel like that puts us in a box that aligns with the front pages of the newspapers. And I think we need to focus on talking about trees and forests. There has always been contention between our urban and rural communities. And yeah, the temperature is probably higher than it used to be, but let's focus on the issues of what's going on in our forests and not the national mood. It was just sort of, I had a little, that was off-putting to me, but I agree that the challenges are there and should very much be addressed, but wanted to sort of reframe that a little bit.
Great. And I want to just point out some comments on the side to reflecting that concern.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
You got others that have noticed that and flagged it.
I didn't see that until just now. So
yeah, and Mike, it looks like you had some actual specific language. So I'm going to bounce to Mike, and then I'll come back to you, Cal, just to get this comment in that's similar to what Ben is suggesting here. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, yeah, if that's okay with Cal, thanks. So yeah, I did just want to seized on the exact same thing, Ben. I think, you know, I've made it kind of clear how I feel about it. And it's also just not our job to deal with every ideological difference that there may or may not be out there right now as well. But what we can do is, this language that I suggested in the follow-on comment is not necessarily right. It's just sort of the way that I see it, really. It recognizes that we have these different relationships to the forest and perspectives about it. But I really try to root into the economy of it, because that tends to be the rub. And there's a broader economy than what I described here. I get that. I know that. I just kind of want to get something there as a placeholder, perhaps, to work on. And I think that's a big part of this contextual piece that would be a little bit more objective and a little bit more something that's in our wheelhouse in terms of influence and in some cases direct action. Thanks.
Great. So I'd like folks to respond to that suggestion of really speaking, you know, that this is an important contextual piece. It should not be tied to a political cycle, and that it's really the primary kind of piece around this is that there are different, ties economically to the forests when you look across these different regions or areas. So we don't need to fully respond to that, but I do want folks to weigh in on that. I'm going to jump over to Cal, and we'll come back to this, unless this was your comment as well, Cal.
No, it wasn't. It would go into context, honoring our government-to-government relationships with sovereign nations. And I just wanted I think that what was written there is fine. I think it looks good. But I think there's also another area that maybe we should mention is, and it's a tough one because it's helping tribes identify and protect their cultural resources, but we don't want to make that public, and so that's kind of a touchy one. But I think we do have, that's part of our obligation of working with government to government relationships with tribes. We do well. I don't want to use the word consultation, but that has implications. But we do talk with tribes about cultural resources on state forests, things like that, and how to best deal with them. But we don't want to reveal those cultural resources to the great public because of pilfering and all sorts of other things that could happen. But so it's a touchy thing. I think we do have an obligation there. And that's part of honoring our government-to-government relationships with sovereign nations.
So, Robin, can I jump in here? I'd like to back up a second as to, I think we need to think about what is the reason why we have this intent, principle, and context section, right? And I think, this is my opinion, from a reader's perspective, it's supposed to give them a highlighted view of what this document, you know, how we built this document, what are the principles, what are the contexts by which we were, you know, working through to develop it, right? I think this is way too long. I mean, and Ben talked about this. We're kind of trying to say anything and everything in this. I wonder if that's the right way to approach this section of the entire document. Is do we need to say, for as an example, in the urban-rural divide section in the context portion, we give examples. Do we need to do that? Do we, or can we say it urban-rural divide was a, it's a context, it's part of the context by which we're developing this, and let the reader, they understand, you know, how deep do we have to dive into what the, does that really mean? You're tracking? I would hope the reader could look at this section, skim it fairly quickly, and get a sense of the environment, the intent, the principles. You know, there's going to be a lot said in the document to follow, right? You know, I just kind of fall back to this, like so many things that we work on in this kind of, we start working, we tend to throw the kitchen sink at everything. And I wonder if that's necessary. You know, there's lots of examples that we dive fairly deep into explanations in this intent and principle. I just want people's, I just like other people's opinions of that, of what I just said. What should we be doing with this section of the document, I guess?
Great. Yeah. So anybody disagree that making this more concise, you prefer to make this more concise and not flower it with a lot of examples and let the, just try to be as clear and succinct as possible?
Yeah, and that was the reason I raised my hand. I agree with Joe. I think I would like to see it more concise because you can go down a rabbit hole with each one of these things and, you know, oh yeah, we need to mention this, we need to do this. And that's where I think those pull-out boxes that you were talking about are useful. You pull them out and they're on the side, little box here on tribal relations. You know, here's our little discussion about that.
Yeah.
So good. I love Joe. Great suggestion. You're looking at the big picture. I appreciate that.
Brenda, can I check in with you on that point?
In terms of making it more concise?
Yeah, and kind of less examples and more just straightforward.
Yeah. Well, I think we talked about this. And that was the reason for the call-out boxes, was to provide more detailed context for those who want it, but keep the major part of the document concise and easy to read and easy to get through quickly.
Okay. All right. All of this is noted. We will do something with this. Let me just come back to the contextual piece around the urban-rural dynamics. Mike has some alternate language, maybe as a new starting place for acknowledging this piece. Can we take a look at that and see if you'd like to replace it just as a draft for further review? Let me find, pardon me, here it is. So this would be a proposal of sort of alternate language that does seek to neutralize and depoliticize this reality just a little bit, or maybe a lot more than how it currently reads. And I know that was important to at least a few of you on the call today.
Looks good to me.
Robin, if I could. I like what Mike has proposed. I guess the one question I have is a nitpicking one, but while economies of these areas are all connected to forests, which areas are we talking about there? Both urban, rural, suburban, everything, or in particular rural?
It was my intent to say that they were all connected.
Okay. Yeah, maybe just make a small word change there then.
So while all areas are connected to forests, rural communities are traditionally more directly dependent on forest management activities. Was that your intent, Mike?
Yeah, that all three, yes.
Okay.
And
so in other words, you would read while the economies are all connected to forests and eliminate of these areas? I'm not going to wordsmith.
Yeah, maybe we can wordsmith it a little bit more later to try and get it right. Because, I mean, admittedly, it's not all right. I threw something down here pretty quick. But, I mean, you know, if we're going to get real nitpicky about it, we can find mills in urban areas, right? Direct milling operations and secondary stuff in other areas and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot, you know, that's not right about it. I just...
Yeah, just about
the context.
Robin, go ahead, Brenda. Go ahead.
Mike, I just want to say, while it may not be right, there's a lot right about it. And so I really appreciate what you've done and hope that we can just do a little wordsmithing to make this final.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. So if I'm tracking something like what Mike has written, something like this would be in like a call out box. And then in the document, we might have in context, we might just say something as simple as urban rural dynamics nationally in Oregon have become increasingly more contentiously in perceptions of ideological gaps between urban population and rural populations, period. You know, you would end it right there after populations, that first sentence, I guess. And then you'd have a call out box that would have more explanation. Is that's what we were talking about doing, right?
I think what I'm hearing, Joe, folks should weigh in, but to neutralize it even further and just say rural, urban, and suburban populations have differing perceptions and perspectives on their relationships to forests and how forests should be managed to benefit human population, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. But acknowledging that economies might be tied traditionally more, you know, differently, and leave it at that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, the proposal on the table is to actually replace what's here, this whole item, replace it with something succinct that's more reflective here.
Yeah, what I'm asking is what part of that big, those sentences would go in the call out box and what part would be in the, that's where I'm getting at. Yeah.
Got it.
I would suggest that the first sentence that I have there, ending at natural resources, that might be in text and other detail would be in a call out box.
Yeah. That's my interpretation also. Yeah. And okay. I think if we can look at it through that lens, like Brenda talked about these call out boxes, we'll get kind of the basic intent and context and principles in a way that can be read quickly. And then people want to jump, you know, go down deeper as to what do these guys really mean by that? You know, further. Yeah.
All right. So any objections to us just as a next draft, taking what's in blue here, highlighted in blue, and moving it to replace this context statement? Ryan Greco?
Yeah, not a particular problem with doing that. I like Mike's language. I guess my initial reaction to numerous call-out boxes is, are we just shifting language from a paragraph into a box and all the text is still there? Are we just taking this nice long document and breaking it up into segments and silos. So what can we actually remove from the language and not have in here versus how do we just create a document that flows instead of siloing that?
Yeah, and let's talk at the end when we tee up the September board meeting about the instructions and the general kind of direction from the subcommittee about those call-out boxes. Greg, I don't know if you were on the call last time for the subcommittee, but we talked about this and actually established some like clearer direction around those call-out boxes. So I think safe to say that this, all of this language will not necessarily be what gets adopted into those call out boxes. It's also not a place to put in a kind of polarizing or politicizing language from what the direction of the subcommittee from last time. So I think it's a good question. Let's come back to that just toward the end of today's call. Thank you for asking that. Any concerns with us taking this first sentence and moving it up over here to replace that context piece? Okay, we will make that so. I will make that so for you, and we'll have an updated version for review at the board meeting. Okay, so next comments, questions in the realm of glaring omissions or very problematic characterizations. Yeah, Mike.
One thing I call it, there's a lot of nitpicky stuff in here, folks, too, so sorry. But number four with the harmonious, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love harmonious, but you know, should we anchor back into, you know, been talking a lot about the reciprocity concept, and it has uses, you know, in other places, and is is there something a little bit more concrete or a better word? I don't really have too much of a preference. There's just harmonious is pretty squishy.
Thoughts on that?
I think that Mike's comments on this document have been excellent, and I agree with this one. Harmonious might be a noble goal, but it's pretty unrealistic given the current circumstances in this state and country.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if that whole number could be, why do we need to have that even in here? I mean, it's kind of like, of course we would try to, but I don't know. It's, do we need to say that in this? I don't know.
Anybody feel like you do absolutely need to leave this in? This was actually part of the subgroup of the subcommittee that helped develop this piece. Is there...
The only thing I would say is that back in October, and that discussion there and a lot of conversation around, you know, that relationship of humans to the forest and what, you know, there was a lot there, and it kind of, other than recognizing it, I don't know that we really got very far, but you know, it's kind of there in the, you know, maybe it is handled, I guess, under the sub bullet C there above under number two, but not really, because that's really about recognizing sort of the diversity of management across ownerships. But, you know, is there this overarching thing? You know, what are we trying to do here between, you know, recognizing forests for forests, right? I think that was, Brenda, I believe that's, are similar to the words that you used at the time. So I don't know, I mean, if we have it or not, but if we do have it, something that's a little more concrete.
Well, it sounds like at minimum, we could change the verbiage to reciprocal instead of harmonious, and still on the table is the potential to remove it altogether. If it's redundant and or if it's not, it doesn't feel like an important statement to make.
I guess for what it's worth, Robin, I would like to see it stay in with the change to, from harmonious to reciprocal.
All right, so any concerns with just as the next starting place for this one to just change out that term, leave it in for now?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm always going to advocate for shortening.
Yeah, yes. Yes. Okay. Any other, before we lose time here, I do want to spend the last 5 minutes talking about next steps. So any other like major items that you'd like to flag for changes at this juncture?
No major changes, but I just want to respond to Joe's comment. Joe, I'm all for shortening too, but sometimes phrases and words are important to certain people, and we just don't want to lose that. So.
No. I hear you. I hear you, Brenda. Yeah, I hear you. I read that and go, of course we're going to try to do that. But, but yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's shift gears a little bit here. I'll make those few changes that you talked about today, and everything else will just stay as is for kind of a full review of everybody at the board meeting. We're not going to have a lot of time. And so I think it's important. I want to test this with you all. Is it important to kind of try to get this part, to give this a good review with the full group? As an important aspect of this overall vision / blueprint / FOV. FOFO. Okay. But is this, you know, my instinct is that this is really important for us to check in and really, again, have a full discussion of this and make sure that there's alignment in concept here.
I don't know what's going to be possible. What do we, Hillary? We have an hour. How long do we have on the board agenda for this?
Let me pull up the draft agenda, and we can actually look at that together.
Sometimes we bite off way more than we can chew in these board meetings.
to that point, I might just jump in, as I know Robin's bringing up the agenda. There's a lot of space on the agenda for public comment and a lot of interest in this meeting. And I think a couple of items on the agenda that may be unpredictable in their length. And so we should be thoughtful of that and recognize that we will need to be flexible on both days, particularly probably on day two when this is scheduled.
Okay, so here's what's currently slated. With that caveat in mind, we would have a quick half hour before lunch to just, I think, focus on this section that you all just discussed and to confirm or understand if there is not alignment in foundational intent and capturing of important contextual themes. Those are the two primary questions of the day for that. If we have the full time, the idea was then to go into more a deeper dive on the concept review of revisiting the resilient forest goals, reviewing the climate leadership goal with a pretty simple question to the board and ET of whether or not to adopt in the CCCP strategies, just to bring those over into this goal, because they were thoroughly reviewed and they were approved by you all back in November. And so there may or may not need to be much more work on that goal, but there was a description that got developed that's in the current draft. You all sent Danny off to do that, see if he could pull some kind of description language from the CCCP into this. So that is a new item. And then the third piece would be to talk about what these call out boxes are intended to be, that they're intended to be brief, concise content that better defines or provides clarity around some of the concepts that were identified in the broader vision. So the topics right now on the table are place-based strategies and activities, kind of a little more description around what that even means. The wildfire cohesive strategy, really articulating what those three kind of prongs of the wildfire cohesive strategy are for the reader. Defining and describing ecosystem services, and reflecting the DEI framework that was developed by the organization, by ODF, and I believe approved in recent times. So to call that out and provide some description of that as more kind of information. And so what we were hoping to do was actually get volunteers, a board member to sign up to volunteer to work on one of these, and they'd be paired with a staff person or two to help develop that call out box. So it wouldn't be something we would fully discuss at this meeting, but it would be an action item for board members and staff out of this discussion. So is that feeling like way too much, just enough, or wow, we'll have so much time, we'll just be twiddling our thumbs? Joe, I'm going to start with you.
I think it's too, I think it's optimistic that we would get, yeah. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, we could simply talk about this intent and context and principles that whole time with that board. I mean, very easily.
Yeah. What do you think the priority is given all those options for the discussion? Because we can also ask folks to do a review of the document and provide you, like, just, we can do an email chain with some comments back to the subcommittee on other sections. But what's the priority for the discussion at the board meeting? Ben?
I think two things. One, I think just in keeping with our process, I think it's really important that we address the climate goal, because we've sort of in subsequent board meetings gone through one goal at a time. Yep. And that's the one that we haven't addressed as a board yet. And so I think just from a process perspective, at least getting it in front of folks, and it probably possibly could be a fairly quick one. I mean, I think in our board subcommittee meeting last time, it was fairly quick. We sort of said, yes, rewrite the CCCP and we're good. But I think that would be good to get that in front of people just to make sure we're all on board with that. And I think with the intense conversation, I also agree that is important, but I think it could hopefully be framed up in a, here's where we're at sort of exception reporting, like who has issues with this? Because I think if you guys, whoever that is, Robin and co, sort of do some rewrites on that what we've looked at today and present a more concise version to the board, hopefully we can more have a conversation focused on, are we all good with this, as opposed to open it up to how do we write this?
On that, and I'm going to come to you, Ryan, in a moment. Do folks want Robin and co to try to massage this some more for the redundancy and making it concise before we bring it forward fully?
I think that would be essential. I think otherwise board members are going to get bogged down in the wordsmithing. And I think if we're going to present it to the board, and maybe we punt it to another meeting then otherwise, but I think if we're going to present this to the board, I think that all that document, that text that we just looked at in red and blue needs a rewrite because there's a lot of redundancy and I think some extra language that could be removed.
So what if we do punt this to October?
Can I jump in real quick on that?
Yes, Rob? Please. Yeah, thank you.
So I agree with Ben's pragmatic approach to this. I think Taking on the climate piece would be the first, my first priority, coming back to the process that's been described, and then probably getting some buy-in and support of the call-out boxes. You know, remembering then that our goal in October is to have a reasonably substantive draft that we can kind of walk through. And so I think if we talk about the climate piece, and get folks working on some of the call out boxes. And in the background, we've got the ET working on the executive team, working on the agency excellence component or organizational excellence component. That sets us up well then in October to be able to walk through what we feel is a pretty substantive draft of that incorporates all the different ideas. And I think that's where we want to be in October.
Okay. So the one other item is the resilient forest. There's been a lot of work on this since the full group looked at it. So I also want to just, we have to give a chance for folks to look at that. My hope is that you would do that. You know, maybe we just ask everyone who's not been on the subcommittee to really take a look at that. And so that when we come to the comprehensive review, there's no major surprises there. Or if there's any concerns, that they've been flagged ahead of time. So that might just be a little homework assignment for others in between, you know, now and the October retreat. That's one proposal. Any other suggestions about flow? So right now I'm hearing stick with the process approach, go to climate leadership goal, may or may not be a quick conversation, move on to talking about these call out boxes, maybe punt, but let folks know about this intent and context piece that's coming. And if there's time, look at the forest, the resilient forest item. Brenda and Ben.
Yeah, I think that's a great plan, Robin. And I agree with Ryan on the call out boxes, so long as it is a kind of a homework or mechanical step. That is, we identify people who will start putting verbiage to boxes and not get into the details. Or, yeah, I think we could just be there for a long time if we went too deep into that.
Okay. At the meeting, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Ben?
I think that's a great draft of the agenda. And I would just wanted to sort of point out that I think the resilient forests goal does need to be revisited by the board, and I think could take a while. And I don't think we have the board. I don't think the board has the bandwidth to do it in September. So, maybe we can do it with, hey, everybody read it and come back to it in October. But I think holding some space for that one, there's a lot there. And it's, I think it's a good one and it's a really important one. But I think the board is going to need some time with that.
Okay. All right. Super helpful. I know we're over time. I'll shift the order of these items and we'll take some things off. And I've noted that we'll have some in-between work that needs to happen between now and October with the broader board and executive team on some of these pieces so that we're still ready to come back in October with a chance for a real comprehensive review. That's really got it to a place where it is concise. There's not redundancies. You've got the language in there, the content in there that you all feel pretty good about. That then we all look at it together. You all look at it together as a group and say, all right, is this making sense? Is it cohesive? Are there any things that we're missing? Or are there any points where folks would diverge from where they think the intent of this vision should go? And that's our October discussion. Okay. Thank you so much. Super helpful today. Any final comments or shout outs for the order of the day?
Just a suggestion for the title. Future of Oregon Forests. Foof.
And poof, like that, we're going to say goodbye for the day. Thank you, Brenda. Thanks, everyone. And I'll look forward to catching up with you in Salem in September.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Right. See you next week.
Bye-bye.